The title of the sermon this morning is Train Up a Child. Train Up a Child. And this is the last week in our sermon series on raising champions for Christ. And the big idea in this sermon series has been that if we work really hard as parents to train our children to be successful in the arts and in academics and in athletics, but then our kids grow up and go to hell, then we've failed them. And so it's okay if you work hard to help your children succeed in those temporary things. That's okay. But we must, as parents, make sure that we don't neglect the main thing, helping our children succeed spiritually and making sure that our children have a secure eternity with Jesus Christ. And so that's what this is all about. And whenever you think about the reality of heaven and hell, and that they are forever, and that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And when you think about that your child is going to spend eternity, either in heaven or in hell, and eternity is a very long time. And when you think about those realities, those unseen realities, then it makes parenting so much different. In fact, Christians should raise their kids radically different than the rest of the world, because we see what the rest of the world doesn't see. And we march to the beat of a different drummer, and we have different values. And really, we know what's important. And so the way we raise our kids should be different. And that's kind of what we're focusing on this sermon series. And so this morning, we're going to finish off by studying in depth the most popular verse on parenting in the Bible, the most popular parenting verse. And it's Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6 says this, and some of you, even though it's the most popular verse, this may be new to you. That's good. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Charles Spurgeon, one of the great preachers in the 19th century, he said, "He who thinks it easy to bring up a family never had one of his own. A mother who trains her children aright had need be wiser than Solomon, for his son turned out a fool." You know, the Bible says Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. God gave him this supernatural dose of wisdom, and yet Solomon's son turned out to be a fool. And so that's true. Parenting is not easy. We need all of the encouragement and the instruction we can get. There's no perfect parent. And so we're going to learn a lot from this verse. What I want to do is draw out six principles from this verse, six principles. And there will be some sub-points under each of these, but six principles for training a child, okay? Number one, if you're taking notes, is that children need training. Children need training. It says train up a child. One of the cool things about the Bible that I want you to notice is that God's glory and our good are all wrapped up together, so that when God tells us to do something for his glory, it's also for our good. And when God tells us to do something for our good, it's all also for his glory. He's got those two wrapped up inseparably. Isn't that wonderful? And so we can trust when God tells us to do something that it's for our good. But not only that, when God tells us to do something, it reveals something. When God gives us a command, it reveals our need. God's commands are our needs. In other words, God doesn't give us arbitrary commands. He doesn't tell us to do things for nothing. When God tells us to do something, it's because we need it. And so when the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, what does that tell us about children? They need training. And let me give you four reasons why children need training, or three reasons. Number one, children need training for their ignorance. For their ignorance. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, just in a factual way, that children don't know very much. They're learning. Proverbs 1:4, it says that the author of Proverbs, Solomon, wrote the Proverbs, and he directed much of the book of Proverbs to his son. And he says, "The purpose of Proverbs is for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man." Because young men don't have much knowledge yet. They're ignorant. And so children don't know right from wrong. We have to teach them that. Children are inexperienced. They lack knowledge and discretion. They need to be taught about God and how to please God. And they need to be taught right from wrong. They need to be taught that it's wrong to hurt others and to steal and to lie and to disobey authority. They need to be taught these things. And so children need training for their ignorance. They also need training, number two, for their immaturity. They need training for their immaturity. Proverbs 29:15 says, "A rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a youth left to himself is a disgrace to his mother." And so when you let a child, when you leave a child to himself without boundaries, without training, without structure, without discipline, the child is not going to turn out right. The child is not going to automatically go the right way. They're going to go automatically the wrong way. And so children, even once you tell them right from wrong, one of the problems is they lack the willpower to do right from wrong, to choose right instead of wrong. They lack that, those willpower muscles that you develop with maturity, that you develop as you grow up. And so they need training to develop those muscles. If you just let a child make their own decisions, they're most likely going to go their own way. They need training. They need to be taught what decisions to make, and sometimes they need to be made to make the right decisions. They may know that it's wrong to steal, but they don't yet have the willpower to resist the temptation to steal. They may even desire to do what is right, but they don't have that willpower yet. And then, so number three, the third reason children need training is for their inclination. So they need training for their ignorance. They need training for their immaturity. They also need training for their inclination. Children are naturally sinful. We all inherit a sin nature from our first parents, Adam and Eve. We're born into this world with the natural inclination to do what is wrong, to be self-centered instead of God-centered, and to be selfish instead of loving. And so we're naturally sinful. Children are naturally sinful. That's their inclination. Proverbs 22:15 says, or calls it foolishness. It says, "Foolishness is bound to the heart of a youth. A rod of discipline will separate it from him." And so when the Bible uses the word foolishness, it's not necessarily talking about stupidity. That's part of it. But foolishness in the Bible is moral and spiritual as well. It's talking about a moral fool, a spiritual fool. And that's how we come out of the womb, morally and spiritually foolish. And that's what children are. In other words, even if you teach your child right from wrong, and even if your child develops the willpower to choose what is right instead of what is wrong, oftentimes children do not want to do what is right. That's the way we are as sinners. We don't want to do what is right. We want to do what is best for us, not what is best for the kingdom of God, not what is best for the glory of God, not what is best for others. We want to do what is best for me. And so children need training for their ignorance and for their immaturity and for their inclination. The ISV translation, it says it like this: a child's heart has a tendency to do wrong. Another translation says a youngster's heart is filled with rebellion. Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, "There's no God. They are corrupt. They do vile deeds. There is no one who does good." Somebody said, you don't have to teach your children to do what is wrong. That just comes natural to them. And so they need training to do what is right. We've been in our house in Youngsville since 2005. And one of the things that you learn as a homeowner is that it takes constant maintenance and upkeep. You're constantly having to repair things and replace things and paint things and fix things. And if we didn't do that since we bought the house, our house would be a total disaster. In other words, a house doesn't automatically, naturally stay new and stay nice and stay clean. It takes constant maintenance. And similarly, with a child is not naturally going to go the right way. They take constant maintenance and care and training, or else they're going to go the wrong way. So, number one, children need training. Here's the second principle. The second principle from Proverbs 22:6 is that parents must embrace the role of a trainer. Parents must embrace the role of a trainer. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Who is to train the child? Well, it's great for parents to enlist the help and support of other people, the school and the church and aunts and uncles and grandparents, but the primary trainer is to be the parents. That's what a parent's job is biblically. It says in Ephesians 6:4, it says, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the what? In the training and instruction of the Lord." Notice that command is directed straight at fathers, and mothers are implied in that as well, because fathers are the head of the home, the head of the marriage. And so parents are to train their children. Parents are not advisors. A parent is not a friend. A parent is not a peer. A parent is not a chauffeur. A parent is not Santa Claus. A parent is a trainer. Your job is to train those kids. Now, surely a parent's job is to provide. Your job as a parent is to provide for your kids. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Yes, your job as a parent is to provide. As well, your job as a parent is to protect. To protect. Protect your children from those physical and spiritual dangers. Listen to how God cares for his children. It says in Deuteronomy 32, 10 through 11, "He surrounded him," God surrounded Israel, his people Israel, his children Israel. "He surrounded him, cared for him, and protected him as the pupil of his eye. He watches over his nest like an eagle and hovers over his young. He spreads his wings, catches him, and carries him on his feathers." It's a picture of an eagle protecting her young or his young. So surely that's what we're to do as parents. We're to protect, we're to provide. But what Proverbs 22:6 is saying is that our job as parents is to prepare. Not just protect, not just provide, but to prepare. That's the essential meaning of training up a child. Preparing your children. Preparing your children. Think of basic training or training camp. What are they doing? What's the purpose? It's to prepare you for something. Think of training wheels. What are you doing? You're preparing a child to ride a bike without training wheels. Or think about potty training. You're preparing the child to do something, to go potty without a diaper. And so if you as a parent see yourself as a provider, and if you see yourself as a protector, but you don't see yourself as a preparer, as a trainer, then you will fail in your job miserably. You'll do a great job at providing, protecting, but not at preparing them for the future. What are we to prepare our children for? These are some subpoints under number two. Let me give you four things we need to prepare our children for. Number one, you need to prepare your children for life's mission. For life's mission. Proverbs 22:6, in another translation, the Passion Translation, it says, "Dedicate your children to God." Instead of "train up your children in the way he should go," it says, "Dedicate your children to God." So your child was created with a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God and to live for God and to know God and to serve God. So your job is to prepare your child to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ for the rest of their life. Life's mission. The reason why they were put on this earth. Number two, we're to prepare our children for life's battles, for life's battles, life's challenges. Psalm 144:1, look at how the Lord raises his children. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for battle and my fingers for warfare." God trains his children for warfare. And we are to train our children for battle. Your child, think about it, is headed for troubled waters, for a lot of storms, for some major trials, big-time adversity, whether it's the loss of a loved one, major sickness, job loss, going through financial difficulties, divorce maybe, rejection, failure, the failure of a business, dropping out of school or getting kicked out of school or failing out of school. I mean, your child is headed for so many troubled waters, and your job as a parent is to prepare them to face life's battles. All right, number three, a third thing to prepare our children for is for life's decisions. We need to prepare our children for life's decisions. Proverbs 22:6 in the Living Translation says, teach a child to choose the right path. I like that. Teach a child to choose the right path. So your job as a parent is not just to point out the right path, but to choose your child, teach your child how to choose the right path on their own. Why? Because whenever they grow up, you're not going to be there with them all the time to help them make every decision. And that's, of course, not your job. They're not going to want you to do that. You shouldn't do that. And so at some point, as your child gets older, they start making more and more choices on their own. And so your job is to prepare them to make good, godly decisions. And then number four, we need to prepare our children for life's landmines. For life's landmines. And what I'm talking about there are the landmines that the devil lays for your child. Your child's path is filled with landmines that have been planted by the devil. And the devil's on a mission to take your child out. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Life is filled with landmines, peer pressure, sexual sin, drugs and alcohol, laziness, pornography, obesity, atheism, evolution, transgenderism, homosexuality, socialism, cultural Marxism, false teachers, debt, get-rich-quick schemes, divorce, and we can go on and on and on. Life is filled with landmines that can seriously damage your child. Your job is to prepare them to be able to recognize and avoid and overcome those landmines as they come across them in life. Now, Proverbs 22:6, the verse that we're studying, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Don't take it for granted that your child will one day be old. There are many people who never get to grow up. They never get to grow old because they're taken out by the devil's landmines. Many people die in their teens and in their 20s. I've had friends that have died from overdoses, friends that have died from suicide, friends that have died from car wrecks because of drunk driving and things like that. People that didn't get to grow old. And so even if you just want your child to grow old, they need training for life's landmines. And so you may be raising kids, but are you training them? Are you preparing them? Tim Elmore said, the greatest gift parents can give their children is the ability to get along without them. That's what we're trying to do. We're not going to always be there for our kids to provide for them, to protect them, to make every decision for them. So our job is to prepare them to be able to get along successfully and happily without us in the picture. How do we prepare our children, by the way? Well, the Bible has given us the training manual. Our God has given us the training manual, which is the Bible. I love 2 Timothy 3:16. It's all about training. It says all Scripture, that's the Bible, is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. And so God has given us the training manual. So if we want to adequately prepare our children for the future, all we have to do is take God's word and teach them to understand it and to know it and to believe it and to obey it. And if we can do that, our children will be well prepared for the future. All right, number three, the third principle from Proverbs 22:6 about raising up a child, training up a child, is that children require boundaries. Children require boundaries. Many parents make the mistake of allowing their children to make too many decisions when they're young. Too many decisions. They give their children too many options. And this is huge in our generation of parents, my generation of parents. They let their children decide what to eat and when to eat and how much to eat. And they let the children decide even big decisions like which school to attend and which church to attend. Oh, we wanted to go to that church, but my kid didn't like it. They let their children decide what to wear and what to watch on TV. And they give their child pretty much anything they ask for. And they don't make their child do anything that the child really doesn't want to do. And they let the child choose which activities to participate in and which activities to not participate in. It's all up to the child. This is very foolish parenting. It's not training. Remember that children are ignorant and they're immature and they're inclined to evil. And so if you let a child to himself, leave a child to himself, you allow the child to make his own decisions, her own decisions, they're not going to turn out good. They're not ready for all of that decision-making. They need boundaries, and that's part of what training is about. The Hebrew word for train up means to hedge in. It means to hedge in. In other words, to hedge means to form a boundary around something. So to train up a child, part of training, a big part of training is putting boundaries around your child because they're not yet equipped. They're not ready to make all the decisions about their life. Now think about basic training in the military. The trainees or the cadets, they don't make many decisions, do they? In basic training, the cadets are taught to follow orders. They're told what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and how to feel about it. They're told when to wake up and what to wear and how to wear it and how to make their bed. These are grown men. What to eat, how much to eat. Just about every second of their day is planned for them and decided for them. And the idea is that by making all these decisions for them and forcing them to follow these decisions and do things the right way or the military's way, they will learn to do things the military's way. And that's similar to what we're to do as parents. The younger your child is, the more decisions you should be making for your child. And then as they get a little bit older, they get to make more and more decisions as they're prepared to make those decisions. But as you make all these decisions for your child, what to eat, how much to eat, when to go to bed, and when to wake up in the morning, and what to wear and what not to wear, as you're making these decisions for your child, even against their will, what you're doing is you're training them to make the right decisions because they're not yet equipped to do that. You know, a parent is not a drill sergeant. I realize that. But you are a trainer. And so you have to make those decisions for your child. You have to decide who their friends should be and who their friends shouldn't be. And you have to decide whether or not your child should have a smartphone. That's not a decision for a child to make. That's a decision for a parent to make. You have to decide whether or not your child should have a TV in their bedroom and whether or not they should have cable TV in their bedroom and whether or not they should have access to a computer and whether or not to wear shorts that short or, you know, a two-piece bathing suit for a young woman. These are decisions not to be made by a child. These are decisions that should be made by a parent because your child's not quite ready for that. You know, God has given us boundaries. That's the way he raises his children. God has given us many boundaries. You know what his boundaries are? His commands, his law. God has said, do this, don't do this. God has given us very strict, very clear boundaries. I'm so thankful. Aren't you so thankful that we have God's word? It tells us what to do, what not to do, because we're not smart enough, we're not wise enough, even as adults, to know how to stay away from all the landmines. So we need God's word that gives us these clear boundaries. And so we need to do that for our children. The commentary, there's a commentary that I read. It says, if the parent does not set a hedge about his son's path, he is only making it certain that he will encounter thorns and snares further on in life. And so don't fall into the modern day trap of just letting your child decide whatever they want to do. All right, number four, training should be hard. Training should be hard. Train up a child in the way he should go. Not just encourage a child in the way he should go. Not just advise a child in the way he should go, but train up a child in the way he should go. Training should be hard. Hebrews 12:11, it tells us about training. It says, no discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Training should not be fun. It's not supposed to be fun. It's painful. It's hard. It's not pleasant. And through that tough, difficult, painful training, we get the fruit of righteousness. We become the people God wants us to be. If you go back to the example of basic training in the military, basic training is not easy, and it's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be hard. The drill sergeant's goal is not to make his cadets happy or comfortable or help them have fun and entertain them. His goal is to prepare them for battle. And so, usually the harder the training, the better the soldier. Easy training makes for weak trainees. How many parents these days are too easy on their kids? I would say the majority. They're just too easy on their kids. This has to be your mindset as a parent. If you want your children to succeed, your mindset has to be on preparation, not just protection. Preparation, not just provision. And so that means you have to guard against making life too easy on your kids. You know, the best drill sergeants are the toughest. The best drill sergeants are the toughest, the strictest, the ones who demand the most and push their cadets the hardest, because those become the most prepared soldiers. I learned early on in school, whenever I was in middle school, I started to notice that my best teachers, my favorite teachers, were actually the strictest ones, the hardest ones, the ones that pushed us the hardest and demanded the most from us and took the least from us, the ones who were not there to play, they were not there to entertain us, and they pushed us. These became my best teachers, my favorite teachers, because at the end of the year, they pulled more out of me than I knew I could give, and I learned the most. The best teachers are the toughest teachers. As well, the best coaches in athletics are the toughest coaches. It's the toughest coaches, the ones who push you the hardest in practice and are the strictest and make you do things the right way. Because the toughest coaches make for the most prepared team on the court. Now, as a parent, you're not a drill sergeant, and you're not necessarily like a school teacher, and you're not a coach, but all three of those are training, and that's what your job is as a parent. Your job is to train your children, to prepare your children. So could it be that the best parents are also the toughest parents? Now, when I say that parents, training should be hard, I'm not saying that you should be unloving and unaffectionate and that you shouldn't encourage your children. I'm not saying that you should be authoritarian and abusive and cold. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying most parents these days are way too easy on their kids. And we have to avoid that trap. Many parents these days make it their mission in life to protect their children from all pain and all hardship and from all failure and from any kind of sadness and from any kind of boredom. But that's not training. That's actually crippling your child. Your job is not to make your child happy or to make your child comfortable. Your job is not to entertain your child. Your job is to train them. Your job is not to protect your child from pain or to protect your child from consequences or to protect your child from hard labor or to protect your child from things like that, from failure and from rejection. Your job is to prepare them to be able to handle those things. And you're not preparing them to handle the hardships of life if you're shielding them from those things. Most parents are way too easy on their kids. Tim Elmore wrote a great book that I recommend to you. Tim Elmore. The book is called 12 Huge Mistakes Parents Can Avoid. And the entire book is about this theme, that the modern-day parents are way too easy on their kids. They coddle their kids rather than prepare them, and therefore they end up crippling their kids. And so he talks about these mistakes that parents make. And he says, most parents are so easy on their kids that it's a form of child abuse because they're setting their child up for failure and hardship down the road. They're so focused on making their children comfortable and happy in the here and now that they're setting their children up for failure and misery in the future. Listen to some of the mistakes that he mentions in his book. He says, we won't let them fail. We prioritize their happiness. We remove the consequences. We won't let them struggle or fight. You know, we don't want life to be too hard on them. We give them what they should earn for themselves. We praise too much and too easily and for the wrong reasons. We value removing all pain. We do it for them instead of making them do it. And we reward too frequently. He said that the problem of modern parenting boils down to this. We prepare the path for the child instead of preparing the child for the path. We prepare the path for the child instead of preparing the child for the path. We try to make the path trouble-free and pain-free and failure-free and consequence-free and struggle-free. And while our children are living at home, they live like kings and queens. And is it any wonder that the age that kids are moving out of the house is rising? It's now in the upper 20s. Kids don't want to leave home. Their parents treat them like kings and queens. Instead of preparing them for the hardships of life, for real life, for adult life, preparing them to adult, they coddle their kids, and they raise their kids in this comfortable cocoon, and so kids are not ready for real life, for the real world. Tim Elmore said that we need to parent for the long term rather than for the short term. He said, quote, we need to worry less about today's happiness and more about tomorrow's readiness. Okay, number five, children must be trained up for God. Children must be trained up for God. Train up a child in the way he should go, and in the end, he will not depart from it. What is the way that a child should be trained up? They should be trained up for God. Now, I want to tell you that there are two main interpretations of Proverbs 22:6, two main interpretations of this verse that we're studying. Some believe that this verse is an exhortation for parents to train up their child according to his natural bent. In other words, don't try to fit a square peg into a round hole. So let's say you have a daughter and her passion is teaching. And she wants to grow up and be a teacher and she's just got a natural bent for it. But you really want her to go into the medical field and to be a nurse or to be a doctor. And so you really push her hard to be a nurse whenever really she just wants to be a teacher. That's her passion. And so some people say that's what this verse is saying. Train up a child according to his natural bent instead of forcing him to go in a way that's unnatural for him. Now, that's good parenting advice, wouldn't you say? And I think all of us try to do that. None of us want to push our children to do something that's totally unnatural and that'll make them miserable. However, if your child wants to be a professional musician or an artist, just say no. Say no. Yeah. So you can do that in your spare time, but you need a real job to put food on the table, okay? I'm just kidding. Now, that is good advice, but I prefer the interpretation that this verse is talking about moral and spiritual training. Train up a child in the way he should go morally and spiritually. The KJV Study Bible, it says parental training, and it's interpreting this verse, it says parental training should help children develop a taste for the things of God. Matthew Henry, he said that this verse refers to the propagating of wisdom. In other words, teaching wisdom to your children. The ESV Study Bible says that to train means to dedicate or initiate children in the way, the right moral orientation. Another study Bible, the Apologetic Study Bible, says that it means to model God's truth for children and encourage them to live according to God's order. The NIV Zondervan Study Bible says it refers to early moral training. John MacArthur says to train up a child in the way he should go is to insist upon the right way, God's way, the way of life, teaching God's word and enforcing it with loving discipline. And so to train up a child is to train up a child to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And I want to focus on three phrases briefly in this verse that focus on training up a child for God. The first phrase is to train up your children, or to train up. The second phrase is the way. And the third phrase is should go. Notice those three phrases in Proverbs 22:6. Train up, and then the way, and then should go. The first phrase, train up, your job as a parent is to train your kids up. Every child is trained, not every child is trained up. You know, in the Bible, up is used to refer to the things of God, to God and the things of God, and down is used to refer to death and the world and hell. Psalm 14:2, for example, says, the Lord looks down from heaven. So where's God? God's up high. The God is up. The Lord looks down from heaven on the human race to see if there is one who is wise, one who seeks God. Ephesians 4:6 says that there is one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in all. Philippians 2:9, for this reason, God highly exalted him. God lifted up Jesus, exalted him, and gave him the name that is above every name. And so God is up above. So to train a child up is to train a child to go God's way, to point a child toward God. And so your job is to dedicate your children to God, to point them to God, to prepare them to serve God the rest of their lives. Some of the translations draw this out. The Living or the Passion translation of Proverbs 22:6 says, dedicate your children to God and point them in the way that they should go. That's our job, to dedicate our children to God. Colossians 3:2 says, so if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things, what? Seek the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So your job as a parent is to train your children to seek the things above, to seek the things of God and not to live for worldly, temporary things. The Hebrew word for train comes from a root word that means to put into the mouth. And it implies the idea of conditioning the palate. And so your job as a parent is to condition your child's palate for God, to give your child a taste for the things of God. Remember, the Bible says that we're to be the salt of the earth. And what does salt do? Salt makes people thirsty. So we want to make our kids thirsty for Jesus. That's what it means to train them. The Hebrew word for train also means to dedicate, such as the dedication of a new house or a newly constructed temple. One commentator said, as a temple newly built and not yet profaned is solemnly set apart to the Lord, so a child by pious training is dedicated as a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so to train up our children is to dedicate them before they've been tainted by the world. Dedicate them to God. Set them on the path of God. And so we're to train your kids up. Number two, your job as a parent is to train up your children in the way. Train up a child in the way he should go. The Christian Standard Bible says it like this. Start a youth out on his way. Even when he grows old, he will not depart from it. Well, what does it mean, his way? Whose way? God's way. Not the child's way, and not your way, and not the way of the world. Start a child out on his way, on God's way. Psalm 18:21 says, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not turned from my God to wickedness. And so your job as a parent is to point your child to the way of the Lord. In the early days of Christianity, do you know what Christianity was called, even before it was called Christianity? It was called the way. Paul put it like this in Acts 24:14 when he was on trial before Felix. He said, but I admit this to you, I worship the God of my ancestors according to the way. He was talking about Christianity. That's what Christianity was called, the way. Your job is to train up a child in the way he should go. Who is the way, by the way? John 14:6, Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we're to point our children toward God, toward Jesus Christ. That's what it means to train up a child in the way that he should go. All right, and then the last phrase that I wanted to focus on is your job as a parent is to train up your children in the way that they should go. And the way that they should go. Not in the way that they would go, not in the way that they want to go, not in the way you want them to go, but in the way that they should go. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. You may think the way is right. Your child may think the way is right. That doesn't mean that's the way you should point them. You should train them up. You want to train them up in the way that they should go, in God's way. Some of the translations bear this out. One translation says, start children off on the right path. The Voice translation says, teach children how to follow the right way. The NIV Study Bible says that the way refers to the right way or the way of wisdom. The ESV Study Bible says to train means to dedicate or initiate children in the way, the right moral orientation, by pointing to the kinds of conduct that please or displease the Lord and to the normal outcome of each kind of conduct. And so your job as a parent is not to help your children in the way that they want to go or encourage your children to find their way. Your job is not to support your kids whichever way they choose. No. Your job is to train them up in the way that they should go. You want to teach your children there is right and there is wrong. You need to go the right way. You need to train your children that there is truth and there is falsehood. You need to live according to the truth. And you need to teach your children that there are consequences for their choices. Children must not merely be trained up. They have to be trained up for God. And then number six, the last principle, a child's training is monumental. A child's training is monumental. We're going to look at the second part of the verse now. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now let's talk about what this verse doesn't mean. First of all, this verse is not a guarantee and it's not a promise that if you do a good job as a parent, that your children will turn out right, that your children will go the right way. This is not a guarantee, not a promise. Why not? Well, first of all, because this is a proverb and not a promise. That's why it's important when you read the Bible to know what kind of literary genre that you're reading. Now, proverbs are not promises. Proverbs are wise sayings that describe the way that life usually works. That's what a proverb is. It's a wise saying about the way that life usually works. So usually, the way that a child is pointed and directed when he's young is the way that he's going to go for the rest of his life. Usually that's the way it works out. And so when a child goes the opposite way of his upbringing, it's not because of his upbringing, it's in spite of his upbringing. But also, there are many examples of ungodly people who had very godly parents. You can even find these examples in the Bible. And at the same time, there are many examples of very godly people who are raised by very ungodly parents. And you can find many of those examples in the Bible as well. As well, a parent cannot choose the right path for the child. In the end, as a parent, all you can do is train your child and point them in the right direction. But in the end, every child is going to have to make their own decisions. They're going to have to choose whether to follow Christ or not. And you can't make that decision for them. And the Bible tells us that parents are not responsible for the decisions of their grown children. And if this verse were a promise that if you do a good job, parents, and your children will go the right way, then that means that parents should be held responsible for their children's behavior. But the Bible says that's not the way it goes. It says in Ezekiel 18:20, the person who sins is the one who will die. A son won't suffer punishment for the father's iniquity, and a father won't suffer punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous person will be on him, and the wickedness of the wicked person will be on him. And so if this were a promise, and that means if your children didn't turn out right or don't turn out right or don't go the right way, then we could blame it on you. That's not what this is saying. This verse is not a promise, but it is a proverb, which means that the way that life usually works is that if you do a good job training up your children in the way they should go, then usually they will go the right way. They will go the way of the Lord. Proverbs 29:21, for example, says, a servant pampered from his youth will become arrogant later on. What's that verse saying? It's saying that the way that a servant is treated and is trained when they're young will determine how they behave when they grow up. Jesus said it like this in Luke 6:40. He said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Obviously, that's not always true. That's a proverb. Usually, people grow up to be like their teachers. And so as a parent, you're the primary teacher of your child. And so really this verse, it's not a promise, but it is a reminder of how monumental a task parenting is. It's not determinative. Parenting is not determinative, but it's of great importance. John MacArthur said, early training secures lifelong habits. The Worldview Study Bible says there is tremendous importance in teaching youth since they are still in their formative years. Wise instruction carries influence even to their old age. The KJV Study Bible says the verse stresses the simple principle that education in the home forms the man throughout his lifetime. So this is a reminder that parenting is monumental. As well, this is a reminder of the great opportunity we have as parents. When our children are young, they are humble and teachable and moldable and shapeable. And they haven't been completely brainwashed by the world yet. And so when our children are young, we have a great opportunity to train them for the Lord. And this is why I think Christians should have as many children as possible, because we have a wonderful opportunity to train up these children to follow Christ and make a difference for Jesus. And so this is not a guarantee, but it is a reminder of the great opportunity that we have as parents. But there's also, and I want to end with this, some hope in this verse for parents. And that is this, that while this verse doesn't guarantee that your children will go the right way if you train them in the right way, it is a guarantee that if you train your children in the right way, they will never be able to depart from that training. They may not follow that training, but they can never get away from that training. The training that you instill in your children will be with them for the rest of their life. Proverbs 22:6 says it like this, teach children how they should live, and they will remember it all their life. Proverbs 22:6 in the Passion Translation says, dedicate your children to God and point them in the way that they should go, and the values they've learned from you will be with them for life. Warren Wiersbe said, certainly children reared in the nurture and instruction of the Lord can stray from God, but they can never get away from the prayers of their parents or the seeds that have been planted in their hearts. And so the training that we give our children will never leave their memories. They will never escape the impression that you make on them. Your children will never uncover the spiritual seeds that you plant in them. They will never unlearn the lessons that you teach them. They may depart from your training, but your training will never depart from them. They may deny the truth, but they cannot depart from the truth. They can never get away from your training and from your love and from your prayers. And so for those of you that have children that have not gone the way that you wanted them to go, that you trained them to go, there's still a lot of hope in this verse that the training that you did is with them still and is still impacting them, still influencing them, and will till they die. And it's encouragement for us as parents who have young children to do our very best to train up our children in the way they should go. And our training will stay with them for the rest of their lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this verse, Proverbs 22:6, and the instruction, the encouragement that we get from it. We thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be parents and grandparents. We pray, Father, that you would help us to do what is right for our children, to be wise parents, to make the most of the time that we have, and not to follow the ways of the world, not to do what's popular, not to do what everybody else is doing in terms of parenting, but to parent in light of the eternal truths that are found in your word. We pray, Lord, for the next generation in this church, for the youngsters in our church. We pray, Lord, that they would grow to follow you passionately, to serve you, and to make a difference for you, Lord. Help us, God, to be a good example for the next generation. We pray, Lord, for those grown children that are represented in this room, Lord, that have strayed from you and strayed from their upbringing. We pray for their salvation, Lord. We pray that they would come back to Christ and that they would remember and embrace the good training that they received when they were young. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.